Good morning, everyone. Let's call our session to order. It's a pleasure to welcome everybody to today's City Council meeting. And first of all, to introduce to you Mr. James Patterson with First Baptist Church of Dallas. Mr. Patterson joined the First Dallas family in January of this year as a minister to college students and the singles. He's a graduate of Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, in the Liberty Theological Seminary. He has been married to his wife, Tracy, for 16 years and is a proud father of four. We appreciate you being with us. Thank you, Pastor. Please rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to live in this great city, in the state of Texas, in the heart of this free country. God, I pray this morning for those that are involved in this meeting that you would guide their hearts, that you would guide their minds. I pray as they decide the affairs of this city and those that live in it, that you would guide their actions. God, I pray for a civil meeting this morning. I pray that we would be fluid and that we would honor you with what we do and what we say to the benefit of those that live in this city. We thank you for the privilege it is to be able to gather today and be able to celebrate the freedoms that you've given us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mr. Al, would you do the pledge? Again, Pastor, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Secretary, can I turn it to you for our speakers, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin your morning speakers with Rich Sheridan, followed by Brad Kirby. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You are allowed 2 minutes to speak. You'll see the podium light turn red.
Would you do me a favor and speak into it and see if the microphone's working?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, good morning. My name is Rich Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas, and I appreciate being here today. The title of the speech is The Corrupt Fascist Energy Industry. Many believe that the first economic domino to fall in this recession, beginning to bring down the house of our nation, was the historic rise to $4 a gallon gasoline 2 to 3 years ago. Skyrocketing gas prices caused rapid increases in food prices, family budgets couldn't hold, and the fall of America began. A group of transportation representatives, airline truckers, major petroleum users, appeared in a news conference 2 years ago stating that skyrocketing gas prices are due to speculation and called for the regulation of the oil speculators. The speculators couldn't care less about how this negatively affects the American public, which is the backbone of our nation's economy. During this period, gas prices more than doubled from $1.34 a gallon to a historic high of $4 a gallon. And isn't it interesting? They then fell over a five-month period during the presidential election to $1.59 a gallon. In 2008, ExxonMobil reported the largest annual profit in U.S. history, making $45 billion riding the tidal wave of record oil prices. This beat the previous year's world record of $40 billion in profit in 2007. Both records were due to speculation, or some might call it theft. Texas once had amongst the lowest electric utility rates in the nation. Now we are amongst the highest utility rates in the nation. Enron, a Texas corporation, was the biggest bankruptcy in U.S. history. Why? Because Enron told the biggest lies in U.S. history. Speaking of oil, the oligarch's insidious lie. Now we see great interest in natural gas as a long-term replacement of oil. They say natural gas is greener fuel because it is better for the environment. Boone Pickens, who made his billions from oil speculation, now says natural gas is the fuel of the future. Natural gas is seeing the same speculation and significant price increases as gasoline. Natural gas is a major contributor to high electric rates. There have been increasing reports of environmental degradation from the various aspects of natural gas drilling in urban and residential areas in 34 states. Anyone see the news last night? I refer you all to Gasland the Movie, GaslandTheMovie.com. How can all this abuse of the American public by the energy industry happen and be allowed by our governments? Fascism. It's plain and simple. Fascism is the EPA not protecting people's well water from natural gas contamination. Fascism is an economically punishing. The Dallas Morning News article said it stinks. 1,700 local independent cab drivers taking food off their family's table because they can't afford to play Mayor Leopards and T. Boone Pickens' CMG game. And it's a high-stakes game, and many can't afford to play. But yellow cabs can, of having their cars run on compressed natural gas. And I'll leave it with this. Leave this with you. And I apologize to the council, and I apologize to Mayor Leopard. But Mayor Leopard, you're a fascist, and T. Boone Pickens is a fascist. Fascism is unconstitutional. It's against the Constitution of the United States of America. God bless you all.
Thank you very much.
The next speaker is Brad Kirby, followed by Stephen Meeks.
Good morning, City Council. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I have some more literature to pass out.
Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Okay. My name is Brad Kirby. I live at 2110 Irving Boulevard. Also, I have more information to pass out, too, that I don't need back, or I could use back, or whatever. If I can. Yes, yeah, it is. I'm sorry.
You might lift it just a little bit. That okay. Might help a little bit. Thank you. Appreciate it, sir.
Anyway, I've been here before. I've been here for 2 years. 2 years, 2 days ago, my dog was stolen, and I've been starting to come here ever since. In those 2 years, nothing has changed, except I keep on coming back here. I'm getting a little bit better at speaking, but besides that, no laws have been changed. Dogs are getting still stolen. Chief Cato told you, Mr. Mayor, that he would go after any dog that would report stolen. 2 weeks after that, a man named David, he can't make it today, but he will be here. He had his dog stolen in South Dallas. He went to the district, a little substation on Lamar, and asked them if they would help him go to get his dog that was seen at a crack house. They said no. They didn't have time for him. He'll be here to tell you a story later on. We have a lot of dogs stolen here in Dallas. It's not just this one incident here. We have lots of people who want the same sign, a petition that wants this law enforced. Well, I have three other speakers. One got his dog stolen a couple weeks ago. It's iffy if you're going to get a police officer to help you go rescue your dog. Some will, some won't. And they will not take your dog as a stolen, as a reported stolen dog. They only want to do a lost stolen dog because it goes on their records. The more stolen dogs they have, the more crime numbers, the crime numbers go up because they got all the reported stolen dogs. So they want to keep it as a lost dog, and I believe that's why they made my dog to be a lost dog. And he was definitely stolen. Here's some more pictures of dogs. So I have on my website, and there's my website I've created. You can pass these around. More dogs stolen every day. Also, here's a picture on that one of dogs that are being reported stolen every week at the animal shelter. And every week I go there and I count there's about 40 new lost or potentially stolen dogs. And I'll call those people, and about 20% of them say that the dog had chips and IDs on them and never were seen again. And I still state that if you have a dog in your possession and you don't try to see if it has an owner, if the dog could be a neighbor's dog, if you don't try to find the owner of that dog and that dog has ID on that dog, you're stealing that dog. We might not see you steal that dog, but if you don't try to find the owner of a dog, you're stealing that dog. It's plain and simple as I can get. Thank you very much. I hope you listen to my other speakers. And please, I'll be back here again every month to see how y'all been doing. I want some action on this. Okay. Thank you very much.
And that's a pretty good idea with the .com. It is a pretty good idea.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Go look at it, and it's free.
All right. Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker is Stephen Meek, followed by William Hopkins. Stephen Meeks.
Before I begin, I'd like to say that the audio quality is not very good in the back.
Okay.
It sounds a little garbled. I'd like to remind City Council that on December 22, 2008, I had a fire at my home. While sleeping in your home and suddenly being awakened by an explosion and finding your house engulfed in flames is not only bad, it's traumatic. To see your many personal belongings, including historic memorabilia, go up in flames is even more disheartening. Then later to learn that it was no accident, that an accelerant was used to start the fire, and to know in your heart that it was done out of vindictiveness only adds to the seething frustration. Then finding out later that your home was underinsured is another devastating blow. So I'm salvaging what's left of my home, and I'm getting little help from the city, primarily grief. The fire, as a possible result of the actions of a code compliance inspector who just wanted to, in quotes, do his job, and by doing so, aggravated an already contentious situation, is akin to the defendant claiming, "I'm innocent, I didn't shoot anyone." No, you didn't, but you're the one who gave the person with the gun the bullets. I know the city of Dallas does not want to admit any culpability in this, but you have to. You have to own up to something. The inexcusable actions of one of your own was unfortunate. Had the city has been extremely lax in not taking care of something that it should have done years ago, and now I'm the one being treated like I've done something wrong. For the last year, I've only heard from the city attorney who is representing the city and the code compliance division to update substandard structures. People who seem hell-bent on winning at almost any cost. It would be great if the city would work just as fast to solve why my home was torched in the first place. The prevailing attitude from young city attorneys representing the city who don't want any losses under their belt is unfortunate. Just so he can brag and put on his resume on his way up the judicial ladder that he won all his cases. The hell with the actual welfare of the citizen whose property and well-being is at stake. Don't people who work for the city, work for you all, have any type of moral conscience? A couple of months ago, I sent a letter to City Attorney Gilbert, Joy Zapata, and Dwayne Carraway were carbon copied on that letter. One item in the letter stated, under these extenuating circumstances, all city departments involved should have been in communication together, working with me, not against me, in a more conducive atmosphere in regards to this situation.
Maybe you got to kind of sum up for us real quick.
Under the last several months, I've been under a lot of pressure, undue pressure from the city of Dallas, in trying to get this resolved. And for the judge in the case to tell me that if the city can raise $500 million and build a hotel in a year, I should have been able to finish my home in a year.
Okay. And thank you. And someone's going to give me, I think Mr. Fultz or someone's going to be with
and,
you.
And since I was not able to finish this, I am going to do is send a copy to every city.
Do that. Send us a copy, and we'll go from there. And I think you got just an appointment that is at 1:30 today or something that you know. Yeah. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Next speaker is William Hopkins, followed by Bragg Ford.
My name is William Hopkins. James Dunn spoke last week about the pedophiles at A.W. Brown School. He also spoke last year, Dwayne. I went out the tape from the city secretary. He spoke last year about the same thing. And for y'all to say to go call the Child Protective Service and to call the police, and y'all been knowing for a whole year that this pedophile been at A.W. Brown School and James Dunn told you last year, he come back this year and told you again, I'm trying to find out why didn't the media, Channel 4 and Channel 5, Channel 11, the Dallas Morning News, why didn't they pick that up? Is y'all paying the media in Dallas? And Willis Johnson and all these people, are y'all paying them not to to protect, and are y'all protecting a pedophile at A.W. Brown School? Dwayne Jordan used to come down here, man, and almost cry and talk about the pedophiles. She talked about Kevin Jennings, the head of the education in Washington. Yeah, he got a book called The Little Black Book, Dwayne. You ought to get it. It's so pitiful, man. And it tells you how you can molest children in his book that Kevin Jennings wrote.
He's a head of education. Awesome. I think that's plenty, and we appreciate you being with us. Our next speaker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your last speaker this morning, Bragg Forrest.
My 3 minutes up, Dwayne?
Bragg.
You gonna let him do that, Dwayne?
Our next speaker, please.
Bragg Forrest. Please step forward, sir. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Bragg Forrest, 7518 Spring Valley Road, Dallas, Texas.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I have a dog named Isabel. She's a white bull terrier who was stolen on March 30th, and I've been looking day and night trying to find her. She's microchipped, and I think something should be, when I've called the city and different organizations, they said that, and the vets, that they said if you bring a dog in, they don't always check to see if she's microchipped. And I think something should be done where it's mandatory that they check, and that way would help retrieve your dog, because you can walk in and say, I want to have my dog have her vaccination or whatever, and then they don't scan it because they assume that it's your dog, and it could have been my dog. And anyway, I think there's several things that could be done to help protect the animal so you could get it back to the rightful owner. So that's basically.
Okay. Appreciate you being with us. I want to check on it, because my understanding, when it does go into our animal services, it does get scanned. So let me do some checking on that.
Yeah. Well, they say that they do that, but I was told by, I called several different places, and they said that if someone brings their dog in and they present it as their dog and they just want to get its shots caught up in the tags, that they don't scan it. That's what I was told, and so
okay.
I thought, well, they need to match up their driver's license with the dog.
Look,
she has a microchip.
I appreciate you raising that issue. We'll check on that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Tinsky, I believe you want to make some comments too, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And what I'd like to do, thank you, Mr. Bragg, Mr. Kirby, I know you've been down here many times on this. What I'd like to do is bring Forrest Turner up here. I know that from your perspective, you may think that we're all sitting down here not doing anything, but we are. And so, Forrest, could you kind of, and I know that you and Forrest communicate many times a week. Can you, Forrest, can you kind of get us up to date on where we are today? And
yes, a brief update. This item was reviewed and discussed at the Quality of Life about 2 months ago. We just determined that it wasn't practical, but since that time, we've started talking in terms of how do we get to the issue that Mr. Kirby and others have raised, and we're working with the attorney's office at this time to see if we can fashion an ordinance that incorporates some of their concerns.
Okay, thanks for it. So Mr. Kirby, we're getting close. We're not there yet. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to get to the goal line, but I think we've made a lot of progress, and staff is working on it. So you keep coming down here, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Kirby, I would add to Mr. Tinsky, on the instance that you were relating, if you think that there is a specific situation, where our police didn't respond, then I'd appreciate a one or two paragraph. You could just send it to me, and I'd like to follow up on that. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, I think that brings to a close our morning speakers. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
With that, our first item will be the minutes. Those are the minutes from our last session. Those have been distributed in advance. I can have a motion on those.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. We have one item that will be considered individually that's on the consent agenda. Excuse me, two items. One is on the regular agenda and one is on the addendum. Item number 9, Ms. Margolin's requested that be considered individually, and then over on the addendum, item number 3, Ms. Hill has requested that that be considered individually. I'll also point out that on item number 3 on the addendum, Mr. Newman has a conflict of interest on that. Before we take a motion on that, I know we've got one speaker on item number 11. If you would call that speaker, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Brandon P. Reed. Brandon P. Reed. Mr. Reed, you may come up to speak. Not present, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. With that, then, if I could have a motion to accept all the items on the consent agenda and on the addendum with the exception of 9 and addendum 3. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. With that, Madam Secretary, could you read in item number 9 into the record, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 9 is authorize a contract for roof replacement and asbestos abatement for 14 city-owned facilities. Number 1, roofing bundle D with J. Reynolds & Company, Inc. in the amount of $316,410. Number 2, roofing bundle E with J. Reynolds & Company, Inc. in the amount of $453,640. And number 3, roofing bundle F with Jane Reynolds & Company in the amount of $209,077. Councilmember Margolin, pull the item.
Ms. Margolin?
Yes. Thank you. Is there someone here who could address this for us? Or... Thank you. My question here is that in District 13, Preston Royal Library is due to be replaced, and so I'm wanting information on why we would be replacing a roof on a building that is scheduled for replacement.
The replacement schedule for the library may take a number of years or more than 2 years, and the repairs that are needed this time is critical. There are a number of areas that have standing water on the roof, and some significant repairs that need to be made to protect the interior of the building.
So if the library is replaced, I know we have money to buy land for the library, which we haven't done. So the library replacement is probably out a good 5 years.
Yes.
So you're saying that the roof is so damaged that it can't make it for 5 years?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. And any idea what the cost would be to continue repairing the roof over a period of time?
Well, the Preston Royal amount to make significant repairs is $106,000. We feel that each year it's going to be considerably more than that.
So in the end, the summary is that if we replace the roof for $102,000, we would have a good roof and wouldn't have to pay for all the repairs, which will almost cost that amount.
Yes.
Or will cost that amount.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I will move approval.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order. Madam Secretary, addendum item number 3, please. And the record will show that Mr. Newman has excused himself from the chambers.
Thank you. Addendum item number 3 is authorize a contract with Austin Bridge and Rogue LP for asphaltic concrete resurfacing group 2 for 2010, not to exceed $7,747,010. Councilmember Hill, pull the item.
Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Gilson, if you will approach the podium, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Colleagues, I pulled this item because I want to highlight something good that is happening. Mr. Gilson, this is for street resurfacing, is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's for street resurfacing, approximately 55 lane miles.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Approximately 55 lane miles of street resurfacing.
In District 5, which you and I discussed earlier, I want my constituents to know that $650,000, a little bit over $650,000 of this money is going to streets in District 5, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And that's a good thing. That means the streets will be resurfaced and some of the potholes that are there will be filled in.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I want to highlight on this, which I'm particularly interested in, and I've talked about this, but I want to highlight this. There are 931 jobs coming with this contract, how many of those jobs are actually in Dallas?
The contractor, Austin Bridge, employs actually a little bit over 1,000. One-third of their workforce actually works out of the DFW area. And so that's who they employ. It's approximately 340 employees. Now,
340 jobs for Dallas.
That's correct.
Are those folks fully benefited employees or they're contract employees?
Yes, they're fully benefited employees.
That means that they have health benefits, vacation, retirement, et cetera.
Yes.
In the Dallas area, over 300 of them. And there's also a subcontractor, Omega, is that correct?
Yes. Omega is doing a large percent of that work. It's a minority contractor.
And how many jobs are they providing?
And they employ 90 employees in their office here, and they're located in Dallas. And of those, there's about 10 that would be directly involved, but they themselves hire multiple subcontractors also, and which would be a total of about 90 employees.
And those employees also who work for Omega, are they also fully benefited?
Yes, those employees are fully benefited.
Thank you so much for your help. Colleagues, I did want to highlight those things, that this company is not only doing excellent work for the district in improving the streets, but also bringing a large number of jobs, and not contract jobs, but jobs where people have benefits, can take care of their families. And I do want to compliment the department for bringing this contract forward with this company and express my thanks to this company for what you're doing in the Dallas area and in my district. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And there was a motion in there?
Motion to approve. Thank you, sir.
And second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if we could move to item 42, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 42 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. We do have for your consideration a nominee to the Community Development Commission, which is Casey Thomas, nominated by Councilmember Davis. As vice chair, we will require a ballot vote. We have two nominees, Jacqueline Staley to the Citizens Police Review Board, Nancy Wilson, also nominated by the Citizens Police Review Board. Ms. Staley is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Ms. Wilson is nominated by Councilmember Cadane. Then also for your consideration is Otis E. Burt Holmes to the Senior Affairs Commission, nominated by Councilmember Cadane. We will go ahead. Did you want to go ahead and consider Mr. Holmes and then proceed with the ballot? Do we have a motion to consider Mr. Holmes as vice chair to the Senior Affairs Commission?
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? To order. Okay, let's go to the ballot then.
Go ahead and
figure
the ballot.
Madam Secretary, go ahead and repeat exactly what we're going to do. The two candidates.
You have two candidates to the Citizens Police Review Board. You have Jacqueline Staley, who is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and Nancy Wilson, nominated by Councilmember Cadane. You will vote by ballot. Once you have completed, please hold the ballot up. Staff will pick it up and then go ahead and take a tally. It may be necessary that while we do the tally, Mr. Mayor, you may want to go ahead and go to the next agenda item. We can always come back. Thank you.
Yeah, our next item then, 43.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 43 is authorize an amendment to resolution.
Madam Secretary, I'm sorry to interrupt. Again, item 43 to 46 will require 2 seconds. So again, the second certify. Additional due diligence has been done on those items.
Thank you. Item number 43 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 09-2666, authorizing a real property tax abatement agreement with Forest Park Medical Center, LLC, and Forest Park Realty Partners, 3, LP.
Mr. Allen, please.
This has been well vetted in the Economic Development Committee. Move for approval.
It's been moved and seconded by both Ms. Hill and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our next item, I believe, is 44.
Item number 44 is authorized number 1, a professional service contract for the Dallas Development Fund's New Markets Tax Credit Program with SB Friedman and Company. And number 2, establishment of repayment and a loan receivable from the Dallas Development Fund.
Ms. Atkins moved it. Mr. Salazar seconded it. Ms. Hill seconded it. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Item 6845.
Item number 45 is authorized acquisition from Charles Williams of one parcel of land improved with an occupied residential structure located at 2437 Hooper Street for the proposed Bear Street redevelopment project.
Ms. Davis, please.
I move approval.
It's been moved and seconded by both Mr. Carraway and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 46.
Item number 46 is authorize the reconstruction on-site of 3 homes in accordance with the Reconstruction Share Program statement for the properties located at 703 Corgan Street in the amount of $93,400, 1330 Grant Street in the amount of $93,400, and 4911 Upshur Street in the amount of $93,400.
It's been moved by Mr. Carraway, seconded by Mr. Salazar and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. At 11:45, there'll be a van downstairs for a session at the North Texas Crime Commission. That is a luncheon at 12 o'clock. We will now be in recess until 1:30. 1:30, we'll come back and pick up the afternoon zoning cases.
Mr. Mayor, did you want to...
Are we done on the ballots? Yeah. So 11:45. And lunch starts at noon. 11:45. L1. Yeah, who's got the students?
Hello.
Somebody come down and introduce yourself.
Mayor Leppard and esteemed council members here of the City of Dallas. We are the American government class in Richland College, and we're studying about federal government, but I feel it would be remiss of me not to bring them down and look at what is happening on the local level. So this is local government. We've had a tour of the building, and everybody's been nice. So
terrific.
Thank you.
We sure appreciate you being with us. Welcome, everyone.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have the results of the ballot vote. For Vice Chair, Jacqueline Staley received 9 votes. Jacqueline Staley received 9 votes. Nancy Wilson received 5 votes. Is there a motion on the floor?
That's the vote.
For Jacqueline Staley receiving the majority of 9 votes.
Yes, that's the vote. That constitutes the motion. We're in recess then until 1:30. Thanks, everyone. Good afternoon, everybody. Let's call our session back into session. There are a couple of items that have been requested to be pulled for individual items that are on the consent agenda. Those items are number 48, Mr. Atkins has requested that be considered individually, number 50, Mr. Atkins, and number 53, Mr. Atkins. So, Madam Secretary, if you would read in 47, 49, 51, and 52, and then I'll take a motion on that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial parking lot on property on the southeast corner of Elm Street and 2nd Avenue. Number 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a daycare facility on property on the southwest corner of Crepe Myrtle Lane and Larkspur Lane. Item number 51 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1620 for a private club bar and commercial amusement inside, limited to a Class A dance hall on property on the east side of the Dallas Parkway frontage road north of Beltline Road. Item number 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school on property within the State Fair of Texas property boundary, specifically near the intersection of Pennsylvania Avenue and First Avenue. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the items that were read into the record? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. With that, Madam Secretary, why don't we go back and pick up 48?
Thank you. Item number 48. Item number 48 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-7.5A single-family district uses on property on the south line of Tea Garden Road, west of Haymarket Road. Councilmember Atkins did request this item be pulled. We do have three individuals that have signed up to speak on the item. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. These individuals have signed up and have filled out a speaker card. For all other individuals that may wish to speak on the item, we request that you please complete a speaker card. One will be provided to you if you don't already have one. This will allow the city to contact you if the need arises. Your first speaker is Gail Martinson. Please state your name and address for the record and whether you are in opposition or in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item. Thank you.
My name is Richard Patello. I live at 10214 Tea Garden Road, Dallas, Texas, 75217. I'm an abutting neighbor of the Holiday proposal, school proposal, and we are in opposition to this. And I'm just going to read a statement that my partner, Gail Martinson, has written out to you. We met with David Patterson at our home at 10214 Tea Garden Road in Dallas on April 13, 2010, and discussed our primary concerns of privacy and security in relation to the construction of the Perros Holiday School, which is adjacent to our property. In response to these concerns, David agreed to provide the following, which will be paid by GISD. Fence board on board, solid wood fence painted with steel posts. The fence will be 10 feet high in size and running approximately 250 feet alongside the west side of our property, which is adjacent to the school. I do have handouts for the council members so they can get an idea of what we have done. Item two is shrubs to be planted to cover both sides of the fence for noise abatement. Item three, we discussed the front gate and fencing on the driveway next to this property. And four, the protection of the existing trees, which are 100 to 150 years old, that are on our property, but have a sensitive root system. If these boundary requirements of one through four are fulfilled, we'll have no further objections to the construction in the school. Although we would like to point out to you that for safety purposes, Tea Garden Road is currently not wide enough to support the expected flow of traffic, and we have our pictures to accompany this Exhibit B demonstrating this. We will therefore oppose the zoning approval until we have received improvement plans that accommodate school traffic flow. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Richard Sotelo, followed by Charlotte Westifer. Richard Sotelo? Oh, you're Richard Botello? All right. Is it Charlotte Westifer? Thank you, sir. Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Thank you, ma'am. If you'll please state your name and address for the record. No. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Sorry, I was a little faster. Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, representing the DISD in this request. As the speaker mentioned, the DISD had a representative met with him. We've agreed to his terms as best we can do it, that we can't do things on his property because we just can't do things on his property. But we will put the fence, the shrubs. His issue about the Tea Garden Road, your transportation, your engineering group has reviewed it and determined that Tea Garden can handle the additional traffic. We actually are building a road adjacent to our school that will serve as an access point also to our school and then any future development south of our school. So we're here in support of the staff recommendation, the Plan Commission recommendation. In the lunch period before y'all came back, I added the a note on the development plan about the fence that we proposed to build. Thank you. I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I think this is a great project. You know, I look at through District 8, and I think on the agenda we probably maybe have two or three schools that are going to come up for recommendation. And in District 8, for a long period of time, when they closed Wilma Hutchinson School District down, we lost four schools. It looked like Dallas Penn School District doing a great job with a new bond package they put out to the voters. Fortunately, they're not going to be blessed with four schools, which come in my district, going to be opening in 2011. One school going to be at UNT campus, one going to be at the Inland Port, and one going to be off the Tea Garden. And the school we're talking about today is the Ebbe Holiday School, that she is so gracious to have a name on the school in that area. In that particular area, it's kind of like a frontier. There is nothing there, you know, but open space. And District 8 is blessed with a whole lot of open space. And when you have a school which is going to be 95,000 square foot, and you're going to have a school in a location there with no residential, with no housing, no rooftop, and that's a blessing there. And we got a developer coming back who is thinking about building maybe 300 to 400 houses around the school. So now we have the school coming first, then we got rooftop coming second. Now we got residents coming in there. We got children. We got neighborhood school. So that's a blessing to the city of Dallas. And also they're going to bring retail, sales tax, property tax. So you got all of those amenities to have a great private-public partnership. Do we have someone for public works to come forward? David Costa, anybody? And I think, Dave, you know, there was concern, you know, with some of the residents with the screaming around the property. We did come with agreement that Dallas Penn School District said they will do the screaming. Screening, is that correct?
Yes, sir. The DISD has agreed to provide a screening fence adjacent to that residential structure. Yes.
Right. Speaking of the road, you know, with Tea Garden, we know it's kind of narrow. I know down the road we think about changing the road to Ebbe Lane. If public work is working with Dallas Penn School District, with the neighborhood, or trying to widen that road to make sure it's adequate, because you do have school buses, emergency type of vehicles coming through there, are we?
Yes,
you,
sir.
Can you speak
about
that?
I believe public works is looking at future improvements to Tea Garden Road. Now, the side street, Ebbe Holiday, will actually be constructed with this development of the school itself, but Tea Garden is something that Public Works is looking at for improvements in the future, yes, sir.
So the school is scheduled to be open sometime in 2011. So when is Public Works addressing the street?
I'll have to defer to them on that point, but I'll see if I can get you some answers.
All right, thank you. With that, Mayor, I think it's a great project in District 8, and also, you know, on the minutes when it comes to education, and I think with education, without education, you don't have anything. So I think when someone take the time and initiative, especially DISD, in this time and budget year, that they're already going to open an elementary school. That means we got some young kids coming up and have a great education in their neighborhood, in which they would not be bussed out of the neighborhood, so they had educated in their neighborhood. With that, I move to approve this case subject to the Plan Commission recommending an approval with the site plan with the screening fence.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, let's move to 50-50.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-5A single-family district uses on property in an area generally bounded by Tioga Street, Sebring Drive, and Southwind Drive. Councilmember Atkins, pull the item.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Again, we're talking about education, school in District 8 and you know, Tioga. There was a school at Kenny Carey, and just another Dallas Center School District. It's bringing the education back to the community, which we need. I move to approve this case for the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 53, please. Right, three.
Item number 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR Community Retail District on property on a parcel with frontage on both the south line of Interstate Highway 20 and the north line of Riley Crest Road west of Siegelville Road. Councilmember Atkins.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners with 303 other requests. Received 4 replies in favor and no replies in opposition to the request. However, due to denial by the City Plan Commission, this would require a three-quarter vote to approve.
Three-quarters vote.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yeah, I move to hold this case open for advisement to April 28th with the public hearing to remain open.
I'm moving the second to hold this until April 28th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. We'll move now to item number 55, and items 55 through 58 require 2 seconds, and the second to certify additional due diligence beyond the materials provided are going to be necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for certain mixed uses on property generally bounded by Bennett Avenue, Monet Street, and Fitzhugh Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 174 notices to property owners and 503 of their requests. We received 26 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition. It requires a simple majority to approve.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. McGraw, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval with the following change. Changing liquor store uses in track number 1 from permitted uses to non-conforming uses.
Seconded by Ms. Hunt and Mr. Kinski. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 56, please. And 56, I believe, requires a three-quarters vote, too.
Item number 56 is a public hearing regarding an application for an MF-1A multifamily district on property on the northeast side of Westmoreland Road, south of Redbird Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 58 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area request. We received 2 replies in favor and 16 replies in opposition. Due to denial by the City Plan Commission and the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the area request, a three-quarter vote will be required.
Three-quarters.
Thank you. Item number 56. Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
So that would be in favor of the project.
Again, any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation?
So in favor of the project, then?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Please okay, then that will be, I'll get to you in just a minute. Go ahead, sir, please.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Jimmy Schnurr, 3400 Carlisle Street, Dallas, Texas, here on behalf of the property owner.
We've had a couple of meetings with the neighborhood, and they have voiced a very strong concern about apartments in this particular location. And today what we're doing is we would like to request that the City Council send this case back to the Plan Commission so that we could present to the neighbors and work with them on a Townhouse 3 request. Currently it's zoned Townhouse 2. We would simply be asking for 3 additional units per acre. We didn't want to just bring it on them. We've been trying to work through the plans to see if that would even be feasible. We've worked very hard, but we'd like to take it back to them. I'll tell the council now we're also going to offer some deed restrictions on the materials to try to ensure that we have a very nice product. But we'd like to present that to the neighbors and go back through the process to bring it back to you, having worked with them.
That's duly noted. My anticipation is Mr. Atkins will make a motion that. Let's have the remainder of the speakers, then I'll go to you.
Yes, okay. I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Are there now any speakers in opposition of the in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny?
And so this would be in opposition of the project. How many do we have? So I take a look. 1, 2, 3. Okay, why don't you do this? Since I'll have a motion, why don't you take a couple of minutes, and I'm going to give you 10 minutes in total to speak. So however you folks want to use it, you're more than welcome to. So 10 minutes. So I'm going to hold this for a second. Madam Secretary, why don't you jump down to 57, and then we'll come right back to you and finish this item. But take, again, why don't you, if you want to meet up above, however you'd like to do it, but take 10 minutes. If somebody wants to spend 10 minutes to speak for the entire group, that's fine. If you'd like to break it up and have 5 people at 2 minutes or however, but you'll have 10 minutes when we come back to you. So, Madam Secretary.
Item number 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 758 on both sides of Walnut Hill Lane, east of Skillman Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Howell, please.
Before I make the motion, I want to recognize former Dallas City Councilman Donna Halsett, and thank you for all your years and your continued service that you do to this great city. I move to close public hearing and approve amendments to PD number 758 with the following change. The total number of caliber inches required to be mitigated is 4,502.
Second the motion, ma'am.
Second.
It's been seconded by both Ms. Hill and Mr. Newman. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Donna, it's great to have you. Sorry, I missed you earlier. Now, let's jump back to the prior item, and however you'd like to do it again, 10 minutes.
As each speaker comes up, please state your name and address for the record and verify for the record that you are in favor of the CPC recommendation.
Okay. My name is Laquita Henderson. My address is 3919 Wanklin Court, Dallas, Texas 75237, and I am in favor of the CPC recommendation.
Correct.
Okay. The reason that I am opposed to apartments being built across the street from my home is because of additional crime to my area. We already have a problem with graffiti that's been going on for years. We don't need any more crime in the area. I'm concerned that apartments will bring down the property value of my home. And also, I am very concerned about exactly what is being built across the street as far as the apartments are concerned. We have met with the developer and the lawyer on several occasions, and the first time they came in with these luxurious plans, these beautiful pictures, and they promised the building material and this and the other, and they said that they would put it in writing with deed restrictions. And when we met with them the second time, they brought in another group of drawings that were nothing like the first one, and nothing was in writing. So I'm very concerned that they're just trying to get this property rezoned so that they will have the liberty to build whatever they want to on the property without any kind of guidelines. And we have nothing to ensure what's coming into our neighborhood. So that's my concern. Thank you.
Appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
8 minutes remaining.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm Jonathan Benson, 901 Main Street, and I'm here representing the Woods of Five Mile Creek, which is the adjacent property owner to the north. We're also opposed to this request. It's first we've heard of the idea that was floated just a minute ago. As far as we're concerned, what's on the table is the zoning change request to MF1, which we are opposed to. This is a quiet, relatively low-density, predominantly single-family neighborhood. This site has a large number of trees on it. We're concerned about the effects of clearing those trees, what the effect would be on drainage, runoff, damage to adjacent properties. We agree with the Plan Commission and the staff recommendations to deny in this case for the reasons that are in your staff report. It doesn't fit with the comprehensive plan with Forward Dallas. It doesn't fit on a land use compatibility basis. And the request that's before you, if my math is correct, could potentially result in over 500 dwelling units on the property. So that's pretty alarming, I think, for these neighbors that you're going to hear from in addition. So to conclude, I would respectfully ask that you deny this request today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seven minutes remaining.
Hello, I'm Ashley Moore. I live on 6449 Regions Drive. I'm against what they're proposing. I heard that they were trying to build apartments across my neighborhood. Now, I'm not from Oak Cliff or Dallas. I'm from Flower Mound, where it's nice and beautiful. I'm not saying Oak Cliff is it. But our little community where we're at, it's trying to be a nice little neighborhood, trying to bring it up, trying to be nice. I'm not saying apartments are bad, but I don't know what type of apartments they're going to build across the way. Now, our property value has already gone down a little bit. Now, I've heard that if apartments are built there, they don't pay taxes. They might get tax breaks. I don't know if they're going to be Section 8, but I would like houses to be there. Townhomes are okay, but houses. They've already built houses on the other side of Westmoreland, which are nice and beautiful just like ours. Our neighborhood is only 3 years old, and I just like Oak Cliff to be nice and decent. I don't prefer a lot. And then school, you know, more kids, you know, and I just like houses to be built there and keep it nice. I know down the road is Redbird Mall or South Center Mall, and they're trying to bring the community up. I know IBOC is down there, the church. So they're trying to make the community nice, and I would like it to stay nice. I'm not saying apartments are going to break down, but I prefer houses across my way. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Your daughter's feelings have noted, too.
5.5 minutes remaining. Are there any other speakers?
Good afternoon. My name is Daphne Bowens-Gonzalez. I reside at 6440 Wankley Street, Dallas, Texas, 75237. We attended the last hearing, and we're still opposed to this idea. Basically, when I first moved to my home, there was just my daughter and myself. I wasn't married to my husband now. And I moved there. I chose that area because I felt safe. I mean, as far as I see, we have enough apartment homes in that area. I don't know if you all are familiar with the area, but when you look at Redbird Trails and other apartment complexes in that area, they are not well kept. I mean, as we said, we're trying to improve our neighborhood. There's graffiti all over the area. I've called twice myself and had the graffiti removed, and the kids are just coming right behind you. Once you guys clean it up, they come back and do it again. It's just drawing too much attention in that little area. We don't want any apartments over there for our safety. For the it will decrease our home value, and it's just going to bring a lot of problems. I mean, they start off with this perfect ideal. I'm sure just as Redbird Trail did. Oh, we're going to build this beautiful complex, and once they've gotten their investments and they sell it to whoever and just let them let it become a mess in our community. We don't want it. We want better for our community. I mean, it's bad enough when you look at Redbird Mall. There's nothing over there. I live in Dallas. I pay taxes in Dallas, and sure enough, Cedar Hill is Dallas, Dallas County also. But in order to go to the final stores, if I want to shop, I have to go to Cedar Hill. There's no reason for that when there's Red Door Mall right down the street from me. We don't want these apartments in our area. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Three and a half minutes remaining.
I'll be the final speaker probably. I'll let someone else choose to speak, and I'll just be the final one. I'm in opposition also to this. I have a petition here where all the neighbors in the Wankland area, Allegiance, American Way, and the homeowners up there behind the Toys R Us complex are signed for you all to know that we are in opposition for the apartments. The lawyer, Mr. Schnurr, has notified me, and I have also notified some of the other homeowners to the effect that they want to take this back to the City Planning Commission to ask for more townhomes per acre. I'm aware of that, and so are they. And we're in favor of meeting with them and seeing what they have to say about that. But we're definitely...
So sending it back to Planning Commission?
Yes, there's no problem with them. But we're definitely not in favor of the apartments because we feel like that it will bring more criminal activity into the area. We're already having a lot of break-ins there. All the homeowners have expressed to me that they're having break-ins. We're trying to keep this neighborhood as desirable as possible, stable, clean environment for the children and for our own safety. So what we're asking for you to do is just, we were under the impression that we were coming because of the apartments today, and that's what we were set to do. So we're all in opposition of that. And everybody has signed this petition, and I'll leave it here for you. Thank you.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for coming down. Is there any?
Again, are there any other speakers?
Would anybody like to just put their name in the record with a simple oppose the project or approve the project? Okay. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, colleagues, for listening to this. Again, you know, you see that when you have strong neighborhoods, strong communities, and you get the right type of information, communication out there, you see what the community wants. And sometimes that we as council people, you know, we kind of tiptoes around the community, but this is a strong community. We got so much land in District 8, and what we're trying to do, trying to make sure we got the best quality of life in our district, and we are growing, and we're trying to grow the tax base for the city of Dallas, but we also try to make sure we got a great quality of life, you know, to live. And that's what the citizens here is talking about, a quality of life. We do have many apartments in disarray, and sometimes we don't want that many apartments in disarray, and we know that other part of the city, you know, there's a whole lot of apartments complex also. I think the citizen showed a good effort to coming down here and speak what's on their mind, and that's what it's all about. To speak what's on your mind and to be heard, and I'm hearing you, and I've been listening to this case for the last year, and some things broke down communication, and now we see we're back on the right track. In order to get this on the right track, we need to send it back to the City Planning Commission, make sure the community is involved every part of the way, and they feel like they have not been involved every part of the way. They feel like there was something that might be shoved down their throat and which they do not want. They want to make sure what is coming to the community, they live there, they want to make sure they be a part of it and make sure they can live with it. And I think this is a strong case of a strong community that we are growing and doing stuff right. With saying that, I move to send this case back to the City Planning Commission for consideration of TH3 townhouse district.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Kerwin, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And let me just add and say to the citizens that are here, this is how you have your voices heard. Keep up with what is going on. And when it is something that you feel very strongly about, either for or against, do exactly what you've done today, and that is collectively come together and let your voices be heard. I will simply say that I heard your voice, and also I will follow the lead of my colleague, Mr. Atkins. It is his district, and I think that when it returns, we will be all on one accord
should be, and we will move this thing forward. I'm only encouraging you and saying thank you so very much for coming and for being here and voicing your opinion, and don't let just this be the only time. When there's something else, another issue, do the same thing, spread the word throughout so we can keep moving our city forward. But thank you very much.
Thank you. The record will show that there was a second by Mr. Salazar, too. It's been moved and seconded that this be reverted back to the City Plan Commission. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? I would join my colleagues, too. We also know that it's sometimes a real inconvenience and a burden to come down here. Your comments are important. We appreciate you coming down, especially in that last afternoon, so thank you very much. Madam Secretary, item number 58, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 58 is a public hearing regarding a City Council authorized hearing to determine proper zoning for Class A dance hall with consideration given to appropriate zoning for an area and other appropriate regulations in an area generally bounded by Interstate 35 and Interstate 30 to the northwest, the Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way to the northeast, the Dart Railroad right-of-way to the southeast, and the Trinity Levee to the southwest, and an ordinance granting a new sub-area within Plan Development District Number 784, the Trinity River Corridor Special Purpose District.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 86 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the air request. We received 4 replies in favor and 14 replies in opposition. It would require a majority to approve this.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Thank you, sir. Please step up to the podium, state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Lewis Oaken, 2001 South Riverfront Boulevard. I've had the distinct pleasure and honor of working with Council Members Salazar, Koop, Medrano, Natinsky, and Davis, as well as David Whitley, Bank of the Ozarks, and fellow Cedar West neighbors, as well as city attorneys working on the zoning. In four generations of doing business legally in our area, nothing has united our neighborhood more than the idea of staying, improving the area, starting with ourselves, and being a thriving part of our Trinity River project. We have created a vision where parts of the city will thrive, not despite, but because of the industry. It means the world to us and our family of customers and employees, that the city has taken such an interest in us and our neighborhood and recognized the vital benefits our businesses provide to the city and our neighborhood. We look forward to completing this process the right way and working with the city in any way possible and being a shining example of the successful and inclusive zoning change for future zoning cases in the city of Dallas.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Name and address, please, sir.
My name is Paul Hardy. The address is 1120 Rock Island Street, 1119 South Riverfront. We've been working with many of the council members here in trying to come up with a very equitable solution, not only for the specific boundary areas that we have, but also as this continues, the redevelopment around the Trinity Corridor. We're very pleased with the direction it's headed. We're very grateful for the support that we're getting, and we'd like to thank council for that. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Any other speakers?
Hello, my name is John Hargrove. I'm at 1903 Rock Island. Like my neighbors, I've attended several of these meetings and been at this podium more than once or twice, it seems like, and sometimes I've been very angry. Today I come here with a smile on my face and a happy heart, and I really want to say that I've learned, it's been a learning experience. I've learned that city government can work, and it can work for its citizens. I was touched by Mr. Carraway what he said the other day when he spoke, or a while ago, because it hit me between the eyes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you being with us.
Any other speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. McDonald, please.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. I want to definitely thank our ad hoc committee of Mr. Salazar, Ms. Davis, Ms. Coop, and Mr. Natinsky. This group, if you'll stand up, this group has been working extremely hard, and I really want to just appreciate all their efforts and their commitment to their neighborhood, to this area, and to the project. You are going to be the examples of what can be done, and that folks can coexist, and you and business and neighborhoods can definitely coexist. And if you please sit down, that's fine. Thank you for standing up. If I'm going to call Teresa O'Donnell to the podium, I know that we have made some strides here. I think that their proposal is looking really good, but tell me where we are, and because we've been postponing this for a while, but I think we've made some strides. So if you'll
absolutely
keep us abreast.
Councilor Medrano had great leadership from both the council and the community on this. We're headed in the right direction. We have some mechanics of the ordinance and the zoning to work out, so we're not ready for final action today. I think we can bring that back to the council soon. We're targeting your last meeting in June to have all of the ordinances and everything wrapped up, so we'll be ready for final approval.
Mr. Natinsky and I were just kind of sidebarring here. You know, usually that day is a really heavy agenda, and I just want to know if we could definitely get that done that day, or should we shoot for the 9th in case we do need the 23rd? I just hate to keep on postponing this. I know we're heading in the right direction. I know we're going to get it done, but I definitely want to get it done before the break.
We could, you know, we talked about the 9th, and I don't want to commit to something I can't do. Planner that's in charge of this case will be on his honeymoon in early June. And we'd hate to ask him to, you know.
So then you're going towards the last one in May?
We'd hate for him to have to take this on his cruise. So that's why we're asking for just a little more time. We can always try, and we can always re-notify if you'll set it to a date certain. You know, and we can bring it back.
Why don't we leave it as no later than, and hopefully we can make progress.
Do we need a date certain, though?
Typically, we do a date certain unless we just send new notices out. We could always send new notices out.
Yeah, the double spending.
Yes.
Double notifying.
Yes. Are you going anyplace nice, Dave?
Oh, my gosh. We're getting really personal here.
Going to Tahiti or someplace.
Can we move the committee meeting off of that?
Pardon me?
We can move the committee meeting where everybody's
at. Oh, where we join him in his honeymoon? I don't think so.
Teresa, the advantage of no later than, the advantage of no later than would really put it on your shoulders.
Yes.
And say, if you can move it up, then you can do the notices and that. I mean, you're
absolutely
not going to send out the notices anymore.
So if you can do that, that
really puts on your shoulders. If you make progress over the next couple of weeks and you think you're comfortable enough with the 9th, I think that's clearly where the council would like to go. But we understand the issues too, but that just puts it back to you.
So the motion will be on the floor to keep this public hearing open and to hear it no later than June the 23rd, 2010.
Yeah. And then they'll...
I need another. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, David.
Ms. Davis, do you want to add?
And thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I want to say to the business owners who met with us, we worked together, and I appreciate you for working with us and having some patience with us. You guys came up with a wonderful drawing, and I think we liked it, and we're moving forward. I think this is the type of stuff we have to do, work together. Instead of working against each other, we just have to come together. It's so important that we come together and work together. And I just hope the very best for you as we move forward working around the Trinity River. Thank you so much.
Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I also want to thank you for being involved and actually taking a leading role in the discussions and how we're going to shape the final product. The reason I believe that myself and Ms. Davis are involved in this is because between the three of us, we actually represent the entire Trinity River corridor, in fact, north and south. And in order so we don't have to be repeating this process every time and hearing the same issues coming back and forth from property owners, it was very important to be involved, and I'm glad that we're able to do that. I think we're all aware that we have been in a recession. We know we're going to come out, but we don't know when exactly. And the last thing we need to do is to harm our businesses that are right now employing individuals and contributing to our tax base and also contributing to our community through many good work that's done not only from the business owners but also the employees. So this is one way that we can work together to keep Dallas moving forward. And I think that's the idea. We need to move forward. We will change, but you have to also move forward with the people who've been supporting you throughout these many years. So thank you for your involvement, and we'll make sure we get this done so that we can go on with your business. Thank you.
Terrific. Mr. Tipsy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, it was nice to see smiling faces come on down today, because there were a few days that I thought y'all were coming across the horseshoe at us. There's been a lot of work put into this. There's been a lot of passion and dedication to getting it to where it is. I mean, I think we will get there, and I think the interesting thing about this particular zoning case is I think it's going to set a different tone for how we deal with cases like this in the future. And so with that, you may be the pioneers, but we certainly appreciate all the hard work you've taken to make us get to the point that we think we'll make the right decision. So thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Madrona, please.
Thank you. Mr. Oken, if you'll please come to the podium. Just for the record, I know that you've been working really hard, and I just want to know if Ms. O'Donnell gives you a call, are you ready and willing to work on these tweaks that we have to put on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is priority number one. Okay. So we're willing to do whatever we need to do.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I would just add, as somebody that's not been involved in the discussions, a big thanks to the my colleagues that have been and to everybody in the community. It is nice to see one of these things that unfortunately sometimes can be conflicts and divide people, that actually we set a good standard of working together and finding something that made sense for everybody. So I'm just appreciative of everybody's time and effort in it, and maybe more than that, just the willingness and the attitude to work through some difficult issues at times but come out with something everybody can be comfortable with. It's been moved and seconded to table this until no later than the 23rd of June. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, with that, if you would read in items number 59 through 62 into the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Items number 59 to 62 need to be considered collectively. Item number 59 is a public hearing on a boundary amendment to tax increment reinvestment zone number 17, TOD TIF district, to remove certain properties, reassign the properties, and increase the geographic area of the TIF district by adding property to the Mockingbird, Lovers Lane, Cedars West, and Lancaster Corridor sub-districts and creating a new Cedar Crest sub-district. Item number 60 is an ordinance amending ordinance number 27432 to amend the geographic area of the tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 17, TOD TIF district, to remove certain properties, reassign the properties, and increase the geographic area of the TIF district by adding property to the Mockingbird Lovers Lane, Cedars West, and Lancaster Corridor sub-districts and creating a new Cedar Crest sub-district. Item number 61 is an ordinance, number 1, approving the project plan and reinvestment zone financing plan for tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 17, TOD TIF district, and number 2, authorizing a participation agreement with Dallas County for tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 17. Item number 62 is authorize the establishment of the City of Dallas TOD TIF District Grant Program to implement the project plan and reinvestment zone financing plan for tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 17. To be administered by the City of Dallas Office of Economic Development to promote economic development within the TOD TIF district. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record?
Any speakers in opposition of the items read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Carroway, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank our Economic Development, Carl Zabakowski, Lee McKinney, and staff, Therese, just everybody involved in this process. Mr. Zabakowski, if you could come forward, if you don't mind. Mr. Lee. And if you would, just give a brief overview of how all of this pieces and all these different pieces of the puzzle are connected so we can just kind of understand where we're going.
Okay, well, when we put together what's called the TOD TIF, the concept was to connect some northern districts that could generate tax increment more easily with southern districts that would be laboring in the early stages. And so we created a formula whereby the districts up in the Mockingbird Lovers Lane area as well as in the Cedars West area share part of the increment that they're generating with the Lancaster corridor. And all of this is tied to transit-oriented development, affordable housing, two things which are at the top of our priority list.
All right, and so what are we doing? Just kind of break it down. We're going to take the Cedars out, or what are we subtracting and adding in?
What we are doing here is that we are making some boundary adjustments with economic conditions over the past year or so. Why values in office buildings and in some hotels have diminished, and so what it did was create a reduction of value in the entire district where we had thought that we would be getting an increment boost. So we took some of those properties out of the TIF. We also expanded the TIF to create some new areas where we feel that there's economic development opportunity. We made an adjustment to a development where the JOG is doing in and around the 8th and Corinth area to allow him to become part of the Lancaster sub-district so that project would be able to take advantage of some of the increased increment coming from the northern districts. And we also created a new sub-district in and around the new project that many of you may have read about in the newspaper this morning called Wonderview that Mark Cuban and his group is going to be developing, feeling like that is going to create a tremendous boost to the area.
Okay. So what we're doing, we're taking a piece out that's kind of dragging down to kind of let it stand, what, on its own now? Or what are we doing?
Well, we're just taking some properties out that would be dragging down the overall value creation of the TIF, and then we are adding some other areas where we feel like there are development opportunities.
That's okay, and as the Spink development, the JOG piece at Corinth and 8th and 11th in that area, adding that in.
Well, part of his project is already in the TIF, but it was within the sub-district of Cedars West.
Right.
And then there was there were two other phases of it that were not in the TIF, so we included those two phases in the TIF, and we moved it from the Cedars West sub-district to the Lancaster Corridor sub-district so that he could be able to take advantage of the transfer of increment from the northern district.
So the Lancaster Corridor now will start, let's just say it touches all the way to just at the foot of the bridge at 8th and 11th Street at Corinth.
That's correct.
That includes the senior living quarters that the JOG Spinks development are currently doing.
Yes. It goes from its current development there at 8th and Corinth all the way down to Ledbetter Station.
And then up the street we have the Monroe shop that DART is currently doing.
That's correct.
That too is in the corridor.
Yes.
All right, and then from there, we've added in Mr. Atkins' district and the Dart Rail Station on the other side of Ledbetter. Wheels.
That's right.
So that's a new piece that's coming in.
That's right.
So now that we have that, we are now looking at the Lancaster Corridor, and still the missing link is the Lancaster Key Shopping Center that we're still working on.
It's there.
Yes.
The missing link, and that it isn't funded yet.
That we're still looking for the funds we're going to find this year. I heard you when you said that. The Wonderview Project. Now, we're linking it in to this. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. And that is the project. Talk a little bit about the Wonderview Project.
Well, it is a very large project. It's in and around, I think it's a couple of hundred acres, in and around the golf course.
Okay.
It is going to have major sports facilities. It's tied to a current program called Project Heroes, where it really provides first-rate athletic facilities for inner-city kids. They'll also have a plan to have a mixed-use development that would be in the same area or adjacent to these facilities, so that you'd have basically live, work, and play opportunities right adjacent to these athletic facilities. It's something that's going to be master planned. It has about a 10 to 15 year time horizon. So I feel like it's a tremendous boost to the neighborhood.
And a lot of residential units attached to it too.
Absolutely, it's residential. It would be all kinds of residential. It'd be rental. It'd be townhomes, condos. It has office. It has retail. And those mixes will probably be modified as the project goes forward.
And then lastly, with the Lancaster Corridor, the Urban League in that area across from Veterans, we are still making progress in that too.
Absolutely. That's a top priority within the Corridor.
All right. Now, let me just say, thank you very much. Let me just say this, Mayor, and to my colleagues, and also to Ms. Davis. One of you sits in her district just across the street, of course, is my district, but one of you and the things that the Lancaster Corridor has begun to unfold has opened up the eyes of developers across the country. I'm very appreciative, Ms. Davis, that Mr. Cuban has even thought of bringing such a project to the southern sector, and especially in the heart of the Oak Cliff area. That's just the beginning, but with all of the things, and the reason I kind of walked through some of these, Mayor, from the seniors, citizens, living facility to the Monroe Shop with the Dart Police headquarters now coming there, to the revitalization of the Chris Shopping Center, the acquisition of Lancaster Keys Shopping Center, all the way down to the Community Court Council that will be opening on April the 30th in Oak Cliff on Lancaster. Then you go into the Urban League and all of the development that's going there. Now we're extending it over to the Dart Station and Mr. Atkins District as well. And to have Wonderview, that only says that it's time now for the southern sector to just really take off. And it's taken off. But now we still have some things that are highly needed, because when we come across the Cedar Crest area with the Mavericks coming, all of the attention potentially is happening, all of the development is going on, there are some things that we need to do, Ms. Davis, in both our districts and Ms. Madrona as well, to make sure that the gateway is there. And as we welcome into Oak Cliff, the Trinity, and everything, Dave, when we cross that bridge, we want to, with these positive things happening, we want to make sure that we cut the whole cake and make sure that it is a part of Dallas. I just commend you. Rolling up your sleeves, it's been a quiet move, and this has been a quiet storm. And it's a weather alert now, because this storm is about to break. And when it breaks, Oak Cliff in the southern sector we're going to be standing on some brand new legs. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, Mayor, for letting me run over.
Thank you.
But just want to say that.
Appreciate it. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Carl, can I have Joe to come down? Joe, can you come down, please, for a second? Joe works with the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, and he's on Mark's team. He will be the individual kind of overseeing this project. Can you just tell us a little about the project? Even though I know Carl kind of mentioned some things, kind of tell us a little in your own words about the project.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for letting me be here today. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. As Carl had mentioned, it is about 200 acres worth of land. We are truly considering a mixed-use development in the truest sense on the site. The key element, cornerstone, if you will be working with the Heroes Foundation and developing a multitude of soccer, football fields, baseball diamonds, basketball courts, so on and so forth, even non-traditional X-game type sporting venues, things of this nature, with the idea of creating, again, as Carl said, a community where one can work, play, live, shop, do business, raise a family, all in one. There will also be a large complement of office buildings in the neighborhood of 300,000 to 500,000 feet, possibly more if needed. There will be residential units, approximately 2,600 units when full build-out is completed. There will be facilities related to the medical industry. Part of that will tie back into the Mavericks and their usage. Part of it hopefully will be an extension of Parkland Hospital's regional clinic system. So we'll have medical facilities on site. I think I mentioned retail, but if I didn't, let me do that again. Retail is going to be a very important part of the community because we want to attract community retail that will, again, help that environment. And certainly our goal is, as Carl mentioned, approximately a 10-year build-out. Being included in the TIF is critical, as we all know, for infrastructure needs that are probably relevant to the entire area, not just our property or any other single property. Our intent is to, if approved, we will begin work early this summer. We will begin with the first complement of athletic facilities. We will also begin environmental cleanup issues that have to begin to allow the rest of the development to take place. And that initial complement of athletic facilities then would be followed with the initial office building, practice facilities, things of that nature for the part of the Cuban companies and the Mavericks and some of their orthopedic medical needs.
And I want to say that this is a project that he's been working on for a while. It just didn't happen when I got on the council. So this is something that's been in the mix for a number of years. It's just now time to get started on it.
That's correct. We've been working. The first piece of land was acquired about 4 years ago in planning and trying to understand the land from all its aspects, not the least of which is environmental issues, things of that, as you're familiar, Ms. Davis. Took a while to get our hands around, needless to say. So it's been 4 years coming, and we're very excited to have the opportunity. In echoing what Mr. Carraway said, we hope to be part of seeing South Dallas, the southern sector, as part of Oak Cliff take off in a big way. We're excited as we could possibly be.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can I have Teresa to come up, please? While I'm waiting on Teresa, there are some people that I also would like to thank for working with me on this project. And I want my colleagues to know that this is just not, because it's in my district, this is all of our project. Each and every one of you, this is your project. It just happened to be in District 7, and it's also in part of Ms. Carraway's, too. So this is all of us working together on this particular project. But I also want to thank the Cedar Crest Neighborhood Association who met with them, and the neighborhood who wanted it. That's the first thing I asked. If the neighborhood welcomed this, then I would work with the company, the Maverick company, to make this happen. I also want to thank Ann Bagley, my planner, who met with Joe and his staff, and to kind of work through some of the kinks. I want to thank Mr. Carraway. Thank you, Mr. Carraway, for working with me. And when we met them for the very first day to talk about this, I want to thank Mayor Leppert. Thank you, Mayor Leppert, for working with me and talking to Mark and just making sure that he's committed to that area and just not for talk, and that he's there for the long haul. Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing that. And Teresa, thank you. We had some hiccups along the way, but you was able to work on some of those things. And my planner, the executive director of that department, thank you for just working with me and trying to protect that neighborhood as much as she can. Thank you so much. I do appreciate you for all that you did. Thank you for the meetings that we had over and over, coming back to the table, and then pushing it through the zoning department, and continue to watch over this and make sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do in this project. And also, Paul, I want to thank you. But, Mayor, as we continue to talk about projects like Wonderview, I would like to ask that we look at, when we start looking at bonds, especially the 2011 bond, that we perhaps look at a Prop 8 similar bond for the southern sector, and if we can talk about $100 million perhaps, and to look at everything in that southern sector with this bond. Similar to a Prop 8 is a flexible bond, so we can really, really pull up our sleeves and start looking at all the things we need, just not in my district, but in 4, 5, 7, and 8, Steve's district, Dave's district, so we can, in all of the southern sectors, so we can just really try to put our arms around on how we're going to take the southern sector long term. And so I think a Prop 8 position is flexible, and it's to see if you would be interested in trying to talk to us and bring us together to look at something like a Prop 8 and with a figure of $100 million. I'm just throwing that figure out there. I think it's a decent number to throw out there.
You know, I think we've talked about previously, I think everybody's on board, at least from a conceptual standpoint, on a significant number north of $50 million. That would be some type, however it's structured, aid, et cetera, at that. That would be a significant capital base that we could do housing, some of these other sort of things. And hopefully it would be a refunding type of capital base so that it could be go out in loans, low income, that foster development, and come back in and be used long into the future, because that capital base is the one thing that we don't have today that a lot of cities do have.
Right. So, with that being said, I move for approval.
Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you. I was very excited to read about the project in the paper this morning. I have a question about the way, I guess it would be accounting is done when you move property in and out of a TIF. When a new piece of property is put into a TIF, whether it's raw land or improved property, does the basis of the TIF then, is that adjusted to reflect the new value, or does that new property all become increment immediately?
I believe, Carl helped me out on this, but I believe it's adjusted to reflect the new value, and then it becomes increment as it generates increment.
Yes. Okay. That's what I was hoping the answer would be. Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Ms. Parker-Horn. As a number of my colleagues said, I think this has a number of very positive aspects for this project. It wasn't long ago that we had a session that was down not too far from here, and we brought about 300 or 400 people that have been involved in development in the southern part of our city together, and a number of you were there. And I think even for people that have been involved and seen some of the things in the southern part of the city, when we put it all together, and it was a lot of different pictures, a lot of different schedules, and a lot of different conversations, when we put it all together, I think people were surprised. You need to keep in mind the southern part of our city, the district that you mentioned, is bigger than most cities. And so sometimes we lose track of the good things that have happened because it is such a large geographic piece. I think more and more it's going to be important to have everybody understand what is happening. And I put this project and what we're doing today right in that category. I think it was very creative months ago when we came up with the idea of mixing the North and the South in terms of a TIF, and you creatively using that light rail line as a way to tie them together. While in the foreseeable future it's going to be the North helping the South, I'm also hopeful at some point that that reverses itself, that the South will see development and all of a sudden that will create a base of capital that's being generated North-South and there won't really be any distinctions. This project I think is important. I think Ms. Davis and Mr. Carraway have done a good job of outlining some of the things that are happening recently. The Lancaster Corridor even having some claims up there, I believe, Mr. Carraway, right now. Those sorts of things, again, even in difficult economy. I think one of the things that's important, and I think it's important everybody understand, is we have investors that are coming in now that are making real investments in this part of our city, that we want to see that investment. And investors that are recognizable, that are clearly in it, to generate a return for themselves. And we think that's great. But I think that's a signal not only to ourselves and everybody involved in kind of city type of things, but also developers out there that are looking for opportunities and opportunities to go forward. There are real opportunities. Those are starting to be capitalized on. This area of our community is one that I think is exciting. It's going to have an awful lot of potential into the future. And we're going to have the private sector come in there, hopefully, based on what we have done here, but have the private sector come in and push that multifold. So I'm excited about it. I think it's important, again, to have recognizable investors that are coming in and making that. I think this is an important sign of that, and I think it's an indication not only that this project can be successful, but we're going to see other benefits that accrue around that project. Ms. Davis, you want to close this out? We'll vote.
Yes, Mayor. And also I want to say, right across the street from this project, DHA is starting on their houses right across the street. So all of that development is going to kind of happen at the same time. So it's going to really do a huge push. And Joe is working with DHA on some things already. So that partnership is working. And so I appreciate that type of partnership DHA and the Maverick company is doing right now, working together. So based on that, I would like to close this out for my colleague's approval.
Terrific. And I would follow up on a comment that you made earlier, Ms. Davis. Mr. Peeman has communicated that he is in this for the long term. He wants to see good things happen, and he's committed to that project as well as this part of the community and looking forward to making continued investments in it. We're all excited about that. All those papers signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order. Madam Secretary, I think that brings us to number 63.
Thank you, Mr. and Mayor. This item is the last item for consideration this evening. Item number 63 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath properties owned by Cullum Thomas number 2, Cullum Thomas number 3, and the estate of Gillis Thomas, located near the intersection of Diplomacy Row and Prophet Drive and adjacent street rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Cullum Thomas and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item just right into the record? Thank you. Please step up to the podium, state your name and address, and state whether you're in favor or in opposition of the item. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Kay Roska. I'm an attorney with Thompson & Knight, with offices located at 1722 Ruth Street. We represent the Cullum Thomas Partnership, who is the applicant on the MSP application. And together with me today is John Cudahy, seated to my right. He is a professional engineer with TerraCon Consultants, Inc. And also with me is Don Conlon, who is a representative of the Cullum Thomas Partnership. We're here to answer any questions, and we're in favor of it.
Thank you. Ms. Roscoe did indicate that pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Thank you. Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll move for approval.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our afternoon speakers, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin your afternoon speakers with Michael Andrew Matusek, followed by Kat Manning. Michael Matusek. Not present. Kat Manning. Not present. Charles Donald. Not present. Chris Brown. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Please step forward. Again, please state your name and address for the record. The next speaker following Mr. Brown will be DJ Mayfield. If I will please first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When your time is up, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Please proceed, sir.
My name is Chris Brown at 2110 Candleberry, Mesquite, Texas, 75149. I'm representing all the motor escorts here in Dallas that escort funerals. I sent a letter to the City Secretary's office that has an ordinance on the books that controls and regulates the motor escorts here in Dallas. Right now, that law has not been enforced since 1995, and we have been in court 5 times over this law. Right now, we're just trying to get a new chapter set where the private motor companies can carry their own liability instead of the city carrying the liability. We will accept the liability ourselves with the insurance to start a new chapter for the motor escorts, because we have a lot of officers out there that's doing public service, but officers of Dallas Police Department and other smaller municipalities don't recognize what we're doing. So we have no one to call and say, well, we're obeying the law, or this is what we're doing. There's a lot of officers going to jail for escorting funerals out there. So we're just trying to get with the city secretary's office to give us a letter that I could get a county municipality to pick us up, where we would have the state to say, this is what we're doing. Instead of the Texas Board of Private Security had told us a few years ago that we would have to become security guards. At that time, they took me to court, and we won that case because there's no laws on the book that says what we can and cannot do at this time. So I'm asking the city secretary's office to give us a letter so I can give it to the 8 major escort companies here in Dallas to let us go to a county municipality that can carry us, and we can have someone to represent us. Right now, Dallas Police Department is saying we're not going to regulate you because of the liability is so high. So I'm saying that we have our own insurance, and we do carry our own liability, and we like to become the traffic officers for this county. In 1995, I went through the police academy, got my certification to become the traffic officer for this county. But do so, once I graduated and sent my paperwork in, we was denied. We was told that the Texas Board of Private Security is going to take us over, since the Dallas Police Department did not want to do it. Once we went through that, they took me to court. We was no billed, and also we won the case because, again, there's no laws saying what we can and cannot do since 1995. I've been escorting funerals for 22 years now in Dallas County, and I've not had a problem, but we do have other security guard companies out there due to the Texas Board of Private Security saying that we have to fall up under their jurisdiction, but they have no law to say what we can and cannot do. They just represent security guard companies. I'm representing all the escort companies here in Dallas by saying that we need just that letter to show that if I can get a county or municipality to pick us up, we will carry our own liability and insurance.
Appreciate you being with us and raising the issue. So first of all, thank you. Being a long way from an expert and probably knowing enough to be dangerous, my understanding is that there are some limitations on what we can do in state law. What I'm going to suggest is if you'll move over to the right, we'll have one of our attorneys visit with you
and kind of take us the next steps. Again, I'm not sure what those next steps are, but at least we'll have somebody visit with you, and we appreciate you coming down. Thank you.
Your next speaker is DJ Mayfield, followed by Leslie Davis.
Good morning, City Councilman. I always like to pray first before I go forward. As you know, I'm a minister's daughter, and I'm a minister as well. I like to pray. Bow your heads, please. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. A special prayer for the Dallas City Councilman. I'm thanking, appreciate a whole lot of people very much from the Day Resource Center, the bridge, and it's about to be hashed out for me. These names I pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much. You've been so good to me. I thank you for all the blessings that you have restored upon me, that you've given me. I thank you for this special gift in ministry, singing, shouting, and you welcomed me in your home many years ago, and I really appreciate you so much. There are some issues going on at the bridge that I'm probably sure you are aware of, but what's in the dark will come to the light. There's people doing some ungodly things. They're making prejudiced remarks. That has been taking place for a long time. I played church music around, and these certain people, God know who you are. I want you to come forward and tell the truth that you're prejudiced, and that one time I was singing and you said, oh, I don't want to hear that godly stuff, and they're steady making remarks. They're jealous because I've gotten my degree. I've did something with my life since I've been out here. I grew up here. I've been here a long time in Dallas, Texas. So I want the truth. I just want it all to come to the table. I want us to stop. I want you to stop meddling and picking at me. Yes, I'm an old woman. I thank God for it. I was 19 or 21 years old when I came down here. Thank God today I'm 51 years old. So it says a whole lot about me. It's just, you know, I need to be compensated. I need to talk with an attorney or something because this stuff has got to stop. And lying behind the back and talking behind my back, I don't bother nobody. I haven't did anything to no one. I know those pranks that the devil is playing. That place is in trouble. And whoever wants to go back and tell or take revenge out on me, you can do whatever you want to do with me because God is well pleased with me. God is well pleased with me. I earned my way. I worked all my life. I didn't rob, kill, or steal these people downtown robbing people to get what I want, to get drugs and alcohol. I'm drug and alcohol free. Thank you, Jesus. And this God will take care of it. God sees and hears. He's a hotline. He's upstairs looking down low at everything you say and you do. When you talk behind me, my back, you're talking about God. And you got to fight it out with God. So
we appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, City Councilman.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Leslie Davis, followed by Gwen Wooten.
Leslie, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Leslie Davis,
good.
35, E7, appointment 401. Oh, I like my, because I thank the whole City Council. Anybody had even thought about it, even said a word of mention my niece, and I thank them also. I got 3 minutes. Look at him. Say, I'm moving up a notch. I'm rubbing in. What about Shaquille? What about Shaquille? By his shoe. The thing most important issue tonight today is all you people that are between ages, anybody can figure out understand English. They just start working now because we're in a deficit. The budget deficit, national budget is a deficit. And our economy is people started getting unemployed. You need to join with your family. I'm talking about if you're 113 on down to zero and you're going to say you need to try to help one another to get ahead. Work together and strive to make something of yourself. I'm slipping too because I do wrong. I do wrong, but I'm working on a day right. That's why I come down. This is my therapy coming down seeing y'all. And we must help the Jews because I've heard on CNN on the 7 o'clock Pat Robinson and on the McNeil News Hour on town. Oh, yeah, if you watch TV, If you watch TV, don't watch TV all day long. Watch the important stuff. We're in a learning curve right now because it's so many. We have earthquakes all over the world. We're in a learning curve where we need to help each other. We ain't got time to play all the time because the world needs our help because America depends, because the world depends on America. And if you're a kid growing up, try to help your brother if he don't crack a cocaine. Help him. Still try to help. Don't give up on. Don't give up on nobody's on drugs. Don't give up on the child abuse. Don't give up on. Always pray for him. If somebody do wrong, pray for him. And try to help them do the right thing. You know, if you can't whoop them, call the police. Don't call the police. Out there. Try to tell us that the police are at all times stressed. That was right now as it is. We just lost Chief Compton. But we'll this gonna get better. The city's going to work on that. And, oh, I got 55 seconds. I'm not going to give out that.
If you pause for more than 5 seconds, it's over.
No, wait a minute. See, I come out and get on TV. I'm going to see people in TV lane. Now, they tell me to see me on TV. Yeah, and see, we must go to the moon to escort the Chinese because they might have to figure the know-how. All life is important. We should have sent an escort board mission to the moon with the Chinese to escort in case they have the problem so we can't lose human life. And Obama has just increased the NASA funding by $5 to $6 billion. We increased to $12 billion because we started the space. I mean, we didn't start the space race. We were the first to land on the moon and make it back safely. And I'm right out of time. God bless you. We have a successful career. I want y'all to run a four terms. I want all y'all to run 4 terms. Especially you, son. Even though you make me mad, I want to just thank your behind. But you're my man.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Your final speaker. Your final speaker this afternoon, Gwayne Wooten, is not present. That concludes.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.
Meeting adjourned at 3:12.